This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are a weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, joined this week by Luke.
Hello, how are you?
Going well, Luke. How are you?
I'm really good, and this is actually really exciting because this is the first intimates where I'm genuinely not wearing pants.
Oh, wow. We've done it.
Like, yeah. We've been talking about it for so long. Yeah, and I feel closer to you than ever, even though we are recording from different locations right now.
We are socially distancing ourselves, and we are recording via the interwebs, but I don't think that makes this any less intimate.
So,
you know, like,
no.
Our relationship.
Our relationship transcends the internet, Elliot. It's beyond that.
Yeah. It's physical space anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I have some really great relationships with people I met on the internet and haven't met in person. So, this is totally normal.
Is that what this is going to turn into? We just never see each other anymore. Now, we're not just talking about social distancing. We also wanted to talk about review scores. This is an intimate that you and I did, Luke, a while back. Probably over a year now, I'm guessing.
Did we?
Yeah. You don't remember this at all?
I don't even remember.
So we had a chat around the time when Prey released, because IGN gave Prey a very low review score.
Ah, yes.
Because of a bug that caused their game to crash. Yeah. And it created this whole conversation about review scores and Metacritic and the fact that you can't alter review scores after the fact and who should your review scores be? Should it be, you know, subjective to yourself and, you know, my game crashed, therefore I had bad experience, or should it be attempting to be more objective, saying, well, nobody else's game has crashed that I've heard of, this is clearly quite a rare bug, so I'm going to review it as if, you know, for the average Joe whose game didn't crash and therefore was a pretty decent experience. That was kind of the whole chat back then.
Yeah, things have changed. And look, to be fair, the Prey review was in 2017, so this was actually like 3 years ago. So you're like, oh yeah, it was like a year ago, but this actually happened a long time ago, and I don't feel bad for not remembering that.
It shows how my passage of time internally is just so off. Just so incorrect. But yeah, basically, at the time of that recording, way, way, way back, here at Checkpoint, we didn't give review scores, yet just this year, starting at the beginning of the year, we've begun giving review scores, and I guess it's a good time to reflect, talk about that decision, and where we're at with review scores as a whole. And I guess I'll let you kick that off that conversation, Luke. What was the change?
Well, I think, you know, we've been doing reviews on Checkpoint for about 6 years, and we had the ethos of we don't want to do review scores because, you know, when people have a score on something, that's sometimes all they take in. You know, they'll ask a question, what's the score? And you go, oh, yeah, 9 out of 10. They go, okay, great. It's like they don't even care about the content or the way of thinking that got to that point. So I think we made that collective decision. We were like, we don't want to do scores because we want our content to stand on its own. You know, it shouldn't boil down to a number at the end of a review. And we want to just leave it off completely. But yeah, we did make that change. And part of it is, you know, we've been growing as a website and as a radio show over the last few years. We recently got acquired by the Community Radio Network, as many of our listeners would know. And so that's increased our reach exponentially compared to where it was. And with that comes more eyes on the website as well. So at the end of the day, we're trying to think of not just what's best, you know, for us, but what's best for our increased readership. And ultimately, people do like review scores. They like the ability to kind of rate things in an easy, simple kind of way. And not everyone has time to read through, you know, a 2,000-word review on why a game is good or why it's not. And so I think, you know, review scores – that's one of the reasons, at least, why we wanted to include that. I don't know about you, Elliot, but I often found when I'd review something, my friends would go, oh, so what did you score it? And I'd say, oh, well, I didn't score it, but I said it was good, you know? And they're like, oh, well, okay. Like, it's hard to explain in a way.
Yeah, I think review scores are such a known entity, not just in video game coverage, but, like, just anything, like movies or whatever. You'll have a certain amount of thumbs up or, like, any critic generally has a score that they present to their audiences as just kind of a summary of, you know, their overall thoughts. And it is such an interesting debate in the video game space, because I think we see some backlash against review scores based on the exact thing you said right at the top. It's that people look at the score and don't extrapolate any of the actual information. And you can spend hours writing this very detailed review that's very comprehensive and lists all of your thoughts and feelings, and people will scroll down to the summary at the bottom and they'll see the dot points and the review score, and that's good enough for them. And so there is that kind of fear of, oh, if you allow people to have a review score, then all this work I'm putting in is going to waste. But, you know, by the same token, you have to allow people to do what they do. If the alternative is, oh, Checkpoint doesn't give review scores, so I'm going to check a different review to scroll down to the score, then nobody's seeing anything you've done, regardless of, you know, how much effort you've put into it. And the bottom line is, if you put a review score in your review, it's more likely to reach a wider audience. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Part of it is definitely these review aggregators that kind of present review scores and link to different reviews and stuff like that. And in an ideal world, I'd love to be a part of that. If we can continue growing Checkpoint, if we were a part of freaking Metacritic, if we were a part of the, you know, the Game Awards at the end of the year, one of those people who decides what is Game of the Year, like, that's crazy. What a weird, crazy world we could possibly live in.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're right. It is, you know, at the end of the day, what we do, and again, for those who don't know, we don't get any financial benefit from Checkpoint. Like, we don't make money, we don't pay ourselves or pay our writers. We're all volunteers. We all do this because we love it, right? So one of the things that we want to do is to grow so we have more of a, I guess, more of a share of voice. You know, you want to make sure that we're in the mix and people care about what we say. And you do that by getting more eyes on your content. That's just how it works. And having a score system, it just makes that much easier because, well, several reasons. Elliot, you mentioned, you know, Metacritic and their review aggregate sites. That's a huge thing because if you don't score, you don't end up on those sites because those sites are a scoring aggregate. So in a literal sense, without scoring your content, you won't ever be on those. So that's one thing we've changed, and we're hoping by the end of the year we might see ourselves on things like Metacritic. The other thing is, when it comes to video game marketing, I'm sure everyone listening to this has seen all sorts of like trailers and online content, like imagery and stuff, even going as far as like posters in video game stores, like in EB or whatever. And it will be like, you know, Last of Us, 10 out of 10 IGN, you know, 9 out of 10 from this publication, GameSpot. And the quote is like, unbelievable. No, I know, it's like a bubble. I don't care about anybody else but myself. Oh, Survivor, you know, 9 out of 10 with a quote and things like that. And bottom line is if you're not scoring your content, your website or your publication will never be in the mix with that marketing. And, you know, we've already seen over the last couple of months, this has happened very recently. To me, this happened to me this week in regards to Neo 2. You know, they used a quote from my review, which is truly rewarding, which it is, the review and the game. And they also included the score that I gave it, which was a 9 out of 10. And we also saw it last month with Dreams. You know, Charlie's review of Dreams was featured in the trailer and also had her score that she gave it of 10 out of 10. And, you know, we've also been asked about other scores and quotes and things to be used in other marketing materials. So this is literally something that happened quite rarely for us back in the day. But now whether it's because we have increased reach or because we have scores now, all of a sudden we're getting requests to include these scores in the mix. So now you do see on that Neo 2 poster, it's like IGN said this, Checkpoint Gaming said this. And it's like, well, hang on a second, we're being like compared to and you know, referenced next to the biggest gaming website on the internet. And there's little old Checkpoint Gaming sitting there with a quote as well because the score's there. And I firmly believe if we didn't have a score on that review, that wouldn't have happened.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I think there's no question. I don't know if you've got that image handy, but I don't. From my memory, there were no freaking review quotes there from a publication that didn't give a score. There's no way.
Correct.
Us here at Checkpoint are the influential enough to be the ones who make it in despite not having a score. Like, no. The reason we got in is because of that review score, and
yeah, they all had a score. Yeah,
and it's a scary in a way that review scores have this kind of power, because what, we've been doing this for 3 months now, and the reality is there weren't really many big releases in that time. Yet two of the big releases that came out, like, we're getting more notoriety for those reviews all of a sudden.
Just I'd say the two biggest releases, yeah,
just because we turned on that review score, and it's like, wow, like seeing the benefits, it's kind of hard to deny. And that's why I think I've almost had a different reflection on review scores as I've kind of been a part of this industry for a little while now, because yeah, there is that part of you that wants to kind of take on review scores and say, oh, we don't need them kind of thing, and judge other publications for having them. But at the end of the day, every publication is just struggling to get, you know, well, some of them aren't struggling, but a lot of us are just desperate to try to get those eyes on our content and to make sure we're relevant and to keep going. And, you know, we have a deeper kind of reason for wanting to get more and more attention, and that's because as queer people, we're able to, you know, send a message and let people's voices be heard that aren't currently being heard. And the more, you know, notoriety we have, the bigger we get, the more capable we are of doing that.
And that's the thing, right? We're talking about, you know, getting notoriety and stuff, and I think, you know, I want to call back to another publication that removed review scores, which was Eurogamer. Now, Eurogamer did scores for a very long time, and then a few years ago, they decided to remove them from their content and not do them anymore. That's great, but Eurogamer is one of the most read publications in the world. So when you have that readership inbuilt and you have a fan base and you have all these views and all these people with eyes on your content, you can make those kind of big influential decisions. You can stand on your own two feet and go, yeah, we're doing what we want to do because we know what's best for our audience. But the bottom line is, you know, Checkpoint, it's still fairly infantile. We've been around for, you know, only a few years in terms of our content, and it's hard for a new publication to come out and say, oh, we're gonna do things differently and stand on our own two feet, because it is so different from the usual and people don't necessarily understand that or relate to that straight away. So I think that's, you know, part of what we sort of struggled with is if we'd done this reverse and done scores for the last few years and then decided to change to no scores, that might have been a very different outcome as opposed to we've done it the reverse where we've had no scores for years and now we're scoring things. So we've kind of almost gone, I don't want to say the wrong way about it, but definitely a different way to what most would do.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. I think transparency is important here, and in like a perfect fantasy world, maybe Checkpoint does get big enough where we can turn off those review scores and kind of make a stand. But to be honest, if you're looking for revolution in kind of gaming reviews, it's not going to be the little guy that does that. It's more likely that the little guy just gets kind of stomped out and into non-existence. And by having that happen, then no positive changes are made. But, yeah, you know, there is a lot of talk around review scores. I know it's been kind of fluctuating over the years as to whether they're good things or whether they're bad things for the industry. And I think, like most everything in this world, there's good to them and there's bad to them. You know, it helps some people to have those review scores. It makes it very easily digestible. And for some people, that's exactly what they want. Too easily digestible, maybe that becomes a problem. But, you know, there's always ways you can maneuver around that. For instance, our radio show, we still don't give a score when we're talking about a game on air because it's more of a discussion. We can talk about them. We can talk through our feelings. And all of a sudden, you know, we're making sure that our largest audience is hearing our deepest thoughts rather than just, you know, some flashy number.
I mean, it's also, it feels a bit wanky, doesn't it? I give this a 9 out of 10. Like, it's sort of, there's no natural way to get to that point. But also, you know, with a radio show, people can't easily skip to the score. You know, if you're listening to us for 2 hours, you know, every week, you can't really skip the content, because if you're doing that, then, you know, you're probably not listening to radio right. So, you know, we have that ability to make sure we do that. But then we do the scores for our written content. And look, Elliot, we haven't even gone into, like, the way we score either, because there's all sorts of different sites that do it in different ways. Yeah. There's people that do a 10-point scale, which is 1 to 10, and that's it, which is what we do. There's websites that do a 20-point scale, which means you can do 0.5, so 9.5, 8.5, and so on. And there's also people that do, even beyond that, they do like a 100-point scale where you can do like 8.8 and 8.9 and things like that. So there really is no kind of clear-cut way to make sure you do it right. Everyone has their own reasons for doing that, and that's where people do have this debate about scores, where they say, oh, well, you know, you gave my favorite game an 8.8, but you gave the other game an 8.9, so you're saying that other game is better than my favorite game. And at the end of the day, like, it's not something that should be compared. You shouldn't be looking at review scores and going, one game is better than another. Because at the end of the day, I mean, we all like what we like, you know, and it is so subjective. There are games that I've played that I've loved. Others have played and thought it was a piece of trash, and that's okay. But I think when you start comparing scores and saying, oh, why did you give, you know, Resident Evil 3 this score, but Resident Evil 2 got this score, are you saying I shouldn't play the third one? It's like, no one's saying that. It's just, you know, at the time, that reviewer thought it was worth that score based on their time with the game. And you've got to take it with a grain of salt, whether it's on a 10-point, 20-point, or 100-point scale. Don't take it too seriously, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact is, gaming is very important to a lot of people, and they get very passionate about it, and it's very easy to make fun of gamers who kind of, you know, jump on social medias and get mad and go into the comments and, you know, rant about the review scores of certain games, but that's always going to be a constant. Like, and to be honest, it's a bit of a fear, too. Like, as soon as we turned on review scores, my biggest fear was, oh no, what about our writers? What happens if they start getting, or just ourselves as well, what if we start getting targeted by hate groups because of, you know, the review score we happen to give a game? And it's something we've seen happen in the past. It happens constantly. As soon as one reviewer gives what is considered, you know, by most people a pretty good game, a pretty bad score, they're absolutely targeted. And you know, eventually that's going to happen to us. It just will. It's just, you know, human emotion and opinions. Like, sometimes you're going to be on one side of the bell curve, and rather than being dead center in the middle, it's eventually going to happen to everybody, because that's just how we are as humans. We're very different people. So what happens when that goes down? I guess you just develop a thick skin, you get over it. But you know, at the same time, it's there is that kind of slight nervousness I have about review scores. I don't know if that's justified or not. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if it's justified that you should care, because, I mean, at the end of the day, we are, you know, we are critics, and we are going to say things that people don't agree with. You know, we've had articles that we've put up that people have gotten angry about as it is. I want to reference our mate Steve Wright from Survivor, because he did a review of Death Stranding towards the end of last year, and it was one of the few publications that really tore it apart. He gave it a really low score. I think it was like a 4 or something. And most other publications around the world gave it like 8s or 9s or even 10s, calling it like a masterpiece. And his review got dragged over the coals, and he had people like emailing him, tweeting him, doing videos, like talking shit about him. Like, it was like, oh my God, this idiot has done this review and they don't get it. They don't get this masterpiece. Like, fuck them. And, you know, he took it in his stride and was like, well, you know what? because of that hate, his website had like its most successful month ever in terms of traffic. And so you kind of think, well, yeah, you had a lot of haters, but those haters kind of led you to success in a way. So it's like, thanks, idiots. Like, because of your hate and you sharing my review that you didn't like, now I'm like bigger than I even was before. So I think, you know, being controversial, whilst it's not intentional, I genuinely believe he gave that review because that's what he thought about game in his heart. But I think, you know, that's the thing, right? You have to stand by what you say. You have to stand and have conviction. You know, if you give a game a score and you think a certain way about a game, you just got to own that. You know, don't look at other reviews. As a journalist, don't look around and go, ooh, maybe I was too harsh because everyone else gave it a 10. Maybe I should bump my score up. No. It's your experience with the game. You're the reviewer. If you think something about that, firstly, you won't be the only one that thought that way. So, you know, put your score out there. Put your review out there the way that you meant and stay true to yourself, because otherwise, you know, where's your integrity as a journalist in the first place? So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, you're right to think, wow, we might get some hate down the track for some of the scores we might give, but I think it can only be a benefit to us in the long term.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the reality is that review scores are always going to cause this trouble that just a general review without a score wouldn't cause, because just as a whole, as an industry, we put so much weight behind the score rather than the words behind the score. And I still think that that is a problem, but it's not a problem that's really solvable in the current climate of video games. Unless all of the big guys decide to make a change, it's clearly what gamers care about. It's clearly what publications care about, and it's also clearly what developers care about too. I mean, I still remember videos of, you know, the God of War creator watching the review scores roll in. He wasn't reading the words, I'm sure he did eventually, but it was just when the game launched, he was refreshing the page and seeing what the kind of Metacritic average was, and that score was enough to bring him to tears in a positive way. It's very clear that people, as an industry-wide thing, care about scores, and it's fascinating. It is freaking fascinating. Like, I'm glad we're a part of it.
Well, now we can have a say in this too. We're in the mix, you know, and we've only been doing this for a couple of months. And, you know, let's see by the end of the year, let's revisit this. Let's do an intimates maybe this time next year and go, look, where are we now and how far have we come? Because you're right. I think, you know, it's going to put us in a good spot. And I think that it's funny how just a number can completely change the perception of a review, a publication, industry, and otherwise.
Yeah, and if we finish off with one final question, how much thought, Luke, do you put into your review scores? Do you write the review first and then think of the score that justifies your words, or do you have a score in mind and then generate the review around that score?
I think it's natural when you're playing a game to have a rough score in your head. It might not be a final sort of score, but a rough score. You know what I mean? Like when I was playing Neo 2, for example, I loved that game. And I thought, this is better than the first one. This is so technically proficient. It's so well made. It's the gameplay is solid. The graphics are fantastic. So even after the first few hours, I was like, I reckon this is probably at least a 9. And I couldn't help but think that. And yeah, I wrote my review and I was like, cool. Well, writing my thoughts down in depth, it does match that initial thought that I had, which is a 9. So I'm not saying that the thought of it being a 9 kind of influenced my review, but I'm just saying I think when you're playing a game as a critic, after playing games and reviewing them for about, you know, for me personally, about 11 years now, you do get a feel for like where it's going to sit and where it's going to fall pretty quickly. You know, we know what makes a good game good nowadays, at least for me. I know what I like. And yeah, so it was kind of in my head what I was going to do before I did it. What about you? Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things where before we gave review scores, I wasn't even really thinking about it. But now that we do give review scores, it's almost impossible not to think about. So you might be playing through a game and being like, So I'll give Journey to the Savage Planet as an example. I really love the opening sequences of that game. So, like, it was perfectly me. It was so my style of game and the kind of thing that I love and attach to. And as I'm playing through the kind of early levels, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, is this an 8 or a 9? Like, I, at this point, I just genuinely can't tell. And it was only until I kept playing and started some of the kind of better elements of the game just started to feel a little bit samey, and I'm like, you know what? And by the time the credits rolled, I'm like, pretty safe to say this is an 8 for me out of 10, which is still a fantastic game. I think our tagline against the score of 8 is great. So it was still a great game for me, but yeah, it was something that was in my mind, kind of constantly ticking, readjusting, rethinking about it. And then when I got to sit down and actually type out my review, of course, it kind of aligned in that sense, because that's what I was thinking about. So yeah, review scores are an interesting thing and something I'm going to have to get used to for sure, but I like it. I like that they're there, and I'm enjoying kind of being able to share my thoughts and to reflect back on something you said earlier. When people ask me about a game now, I can almost give them what they want. Like, in person, people don't want your full kind of rundown of everything. That's too much of a time waster. Most people just want something really concise and a summary of your thoughts, and a review score is often what they're looking for.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think, you know, it's important to understand that we are, as people, we're on the move and we're in a hurry sometimes. And, you know, we might not have time to digest everything in detail. You know, I will oftentimes be on the way to work and I'll see a review come out and I will think, well, I only have like 2 minutes to like check this, check my emails, whatever. I'll scroll down, check the score, go, ah, they gave it a 7. Cool. And then I'll put it away, knowing I'm going to come back and read that content later and sort of read why it got to a 7. But then I go into my day kind of knowing. So I think it's more kind of, you know, it's just the way that we are in the world. People are busy, and being able to have a quick summary and a quick score sometimes is just all people need. You know, you might love a game so much, love a franchise so much, and you want to see what the score is, so it's justified that you go and purchase it that night after work. So you're like, oh, I'm excited for Doom Eternal, jumps online, great, 10 publications reckon it's a 9 or an 8 out of 10. That's pretty good. I'm going to buy it. And you don't want to read all the words and get all the detailed spoilers and info on the gameplay. You might want to discover it for yourself. So, you know, having a score is a really quick way of sanity checking your purchase decision. So I think it's good for that as well.
Yep, absolutely. And that is all the time we've got, Luke. Thank you for joining me to chat about review scores.
You are so welcome, my friend.
And make sure you join us next week as well for more intimate goodness coming up. We'll see you then. Bye.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.